Renner, would you open in prayer, please, sir? Thank you. You may be seated. If you would, turn in the same hymnal with me to hymn number 200.
Everybody, good to see you today. As you can tell from that hymn and the other hymns we'll be singing, our emphasis today is going to be on the Holy Spirit. It's a most remarkable truth that there is one God, only one, but he exists in three persons. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself, and so sometimes we can find ourselves taking for granted or forgetting just how glorious is the truth that everybody who is born again has the Spirit of God dwelling in them and doing all sorts of wondrous deeds, and we're going to be looking at those today. I do have some announcements for you, and I'm sorry if my voice sounds kind of strange. I got an appointment to find out what it is, if it's anything to be concerned about. Carol and I were going to sing a special today, and just I don't know what's happening. I'm not sick. It doesn't hurt in any way. It's not swollen. So maybe it's just a passing thing. But I do have a few announcements for you. We do have a very special speaker coming next Sunday, Brian Lauer. And you'll have all three services. 9:30, he's going to be speaking on the flood, 25 facts concerning Noah and what caused the flood. And then in our morning worship service at 10:30, his topic is Help People Wake Up Before It's Too Late. He's going to address questions that expose tyranny and corruption. And 1 o'clock, Tyrannical Gods and Plans for Humanity. So please do attend. Even if you don't normally come to Sunday school, or do come, you're going to want to catch all three sessions, and you're going to want to invite others. This is one way that we can contribute to the dialogue concerning in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So I hope that you all figure on coming and bringing others and coming to all three services. Family has come forward to offer hospitality, so that's taken care of. Brother Lauer is intending to come in from St. Cloud Saturday evening, and then you'll be here all Sunday. Roller skating, we have set the fellowship date. We've had enough response that it looks like it's a go. It's a little different, as we said. It starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, from 8 to 10. I think that makes for a fun morning, but that's the only way we could get the roller skating rink, and there's enough enthusiasm to do so, so we are. March 18th, the cost is $6. That includes rental for any skates and full-time there. If you attend but do not skate, there's no charge. We hope for a good crowd. That's March 18th. That'd be a couple weeks from now on a Saturday morning. March 26th probably is the day we have a baptismal service scheduled. That would be for the afternoon service that Sunday. Please talk to me, one of the deacons, if there's a candidate for baptism in your family. March 26th, that's the last Sunday of the month, if that works for the candidates. Just throwing it out there as a probability. Also listed in your bulletin, please sign up for a ladies' retreat. Ladies, Liberty Baptist Tabernacle, they're out in the Black Hills, sponsoring a ladies' retreat. Runs from March 23rd to 25th. The details are posted on the bulletin board out there. You might want to talk to Angel or maybe to Carol. I don't see Angel here right now. Is Angel here today? Yeah. There's a registration form there, and a number of ladies will probably go. Okay, so that's on the bulletin board. And then finally, I got a text from my daughter, Jewel, who's a short-term missionary this summer, and she expressed a word of thanks and asked if I would read her letter to the church. She says, "Dear church family, God has shown his nature to me without restraint by his provision and guidance. I know each of you could readily testify of his faithfulness and grace renewed daily. And today I have a fresh cause to praise him. Through generous donations, I can now announce and share my gratitude that my trip this summer is fully funded. This news comes as a tremendous relief and joy to me. Our team has been rehearsing weekly to share the stories of Pilgrim's Progress and Jonah through theater productions, to sing multiple musical numbers praising God, and to share personal salvation testimonies." They're going to Great Britain, England, Wales, and a few other places. So anyway, we are already beginning to see personal growth as our hearts meditate on the truth we're preparing to share. They're required to memorize the whole book of Philippians. That's what she's talking about there. Please continue to pray with us for our preparation and the team's continued financial needs. That's in your bulletin as well. So, ushers, please come forward. Time for our morning offering. Josh, play for us, please.
Our next hymn this morning will be hymn number 199 in your gray hymnals. 199, Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. When you find that, please stand with me once again as we sing.
We return today to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. This is what is called exegetical preaching, where we go verse by verse through the scriptures, trusting that we in time encounter all the counsel of God. We started a few years back in Mark chapter 1, and now we're finally in the last chapter. And we're going to read verses 9 and 10 today. Mark chapter 16, 9 and 10. Now when Jesus was risen early that first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. Father God, we pray as we study the scriptures that thy Holy Spirit would be our guide. It is not sufficient for us to reason, to contemplate under the strength of the flesh. We need the Lord to do a great work among us. Even as we sang, so now we pray that thy Holy Spirit would have full sway with us. Lead us, Lord, to love thee and to reject the world and to understand and believe the gospel and to confess it to others. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Need somebody to turn those lights off, please. Thank you. The title of today's message is Our Need for the Holy Spirit. Mark 16, 9 and 10. Now what we read about was that the Lord Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. What we didn't read about is what is told us in the other Gospels, such as the Gospel of John. And we read there in John 20, verse 14, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Up there? Yeah. Can we get these lights off in the center here, please? Thank you. So it took the Lord to open her eyes. She thought it was a gardener. She looked at Jesus Christ and thought he was a gardener. It took the Spirit of God to open her eyes. That's what we read in John 20, 14. She turned herself back, saw Jesus standing, knew not that it was Jesus. Then it goes on to say, then he said, Mary. She responded, Rabboni. And then her eyes were opened to recognize it was Christ. But that's not the only time such a thing happened. For example, the 2 disciples on the road to Emmaus, we read their eyes were holden so that they should not know him. They're walking right with the resurrected Christ and don't know. And they're his disciples. Not until the Holy Spirit opened their eyes did they realize who he was. And the same is true here of every born-again Christian. We read in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3, no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. We'll see the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Indeed, we are powerless to do all sorts of things that God wants done unless we receive power from God. We read Acts 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now, we've covered this to some degree at various times in my ministry. I like to repeat it and deepen it and illustrate it. And I think it's very important for us all to recognize what powers come with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to give you a list here and then some concluding statements. It is by the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ is revealed to people. It is He, the Holy Spirit, who has the power to reveal Jesus Christ to people. Again, 1 Corinthians 12, 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Have you confessed Christ is Lord? The Holy Spirit is the one who empowered you to do that, if you have. Example, Peter. Jesus asked the question of his disciples, who do others say that I am? And they gave answer. Then Peter was asked, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Secondly, the Holy Spirit has power to convict people of sin. John 16 and verse 8, Jesus said, when he, that is the Holy Spirit, is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, he said, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and will see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. But that conviction that people are sinners and need a Savior, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. When he has come, he will reprove, convict, cause people to understand their guilt, the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Contrast that with natural man. We read in Proverbs 30 and verse 20, this is the way of people without the Spirit. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth, wipeth her mouth, and saith, I have done no wickedness. See how crass, how unrefined, how insensitive and unresponsive is a person committing sin, but in a culture where the Holy Spirit is not working through the Word of God for her to be convicted. And contrast that with a Spirit-convicted man, such as we see in Acts 2 and verse 37. Here's where Peter is declaring the gospel on the day of Pentecost, and God-seeking Jews gathered and hear. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. There's conviction. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now that verb, pricked there, means pierced thoroughly, as if a spear were taken and passes through the gut and out the back of a person. I mean, real, real serious conviction. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so it causes us to look at our world today and we see the current fading of Christian influence. We go back not that far, a matter of decades. There was an inclination still for people to sin, of course, but there was some awareness that there would be judgment someday, that the good book says not to do this, that there's a heaven, that there's a hell. There may be some restricting, some line that's drawn that people wouldn't step over with their vulgar speech or with their observation or participation in all sorts of sensual activities. But we see that fading and fading. There's less and less conviction by the Holy Spirit as we go toward the end days. But that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Also, it is his power to regenerate people. That means give them a new life. We read in Titus 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done. I mean, nobody here gets to be a Christian by going to church, by doing good works, by not doing bad works, by being baptized, by any of that, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. Regeneration is a work of the Holy Ghost. So it was for the Ephesian Christians. We read in Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. That verb quickened means made alive. He has made us alive. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but God is the one who made us alive. Fourth power of the Holy Spirit is to give us continuing satisfaction. John 4 and verse 14, Jesus said to the woman at the well, whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. And he's speaking there of the Holy Spirit. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The Holy Spirit has the capability to give continuing satisfaction. I thirst for this. I hunger for that. I need something else. No, not when the Holy Spirit has come to abide in you. I think a good illustration of this type of deep rest is King David, and what he says in Psalm 131 and verse 2. David says in that wonderful little psalm, just three verses, as a child that is weaned of his mother, my soul is even as a weaned child. That means a child who's been nursing at his mother's breast, now its tummy is full, and you see that deep, restful contentment of that babe. And here's King David saying, a soul can know that same rest as an adult by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's one of the Holy Spirit's powers, to give us an enduring, deep rest. Now, we contrast that with what's going on in our world today. I mentioned last Sunday, and I expect you are familiar in the news, the CDC report. That's the Centers for Disease Control and their analysis of what's happening in our youth today. And according to their study, some 57% of all girls came out by far the worst in this study as far as their discontent and their agitation. Some 57% of all girls were found to be seeing life as something like hopeless, pointless, empty. And a good 20% of them were scheduling their own suicide. In here in America, that's just the opposite of what we're seeing the Holy Spirit can do. He can give hope where there's hopelessness. He can cause the people to abide satisfied. Work of the Holy Spirit is to strengthen us inwardly. Ephesians 3:16. Paul said, I pray that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. We pray that for our church here as well, that we would be strengthened with might by his Spirit, not by stealing our own minds alone, not just thinking this through and emotionally say, you know, pick it up and you can move through, but by the Spirit of God in the inner man. I think Habakkuk is a great illustration of that. The book of Habakkuk, we go to chapter 3, starting in verse 17. Habakkuk is looking at the utter decimation of his nation, the complete destruction of it. And he says, in time, as he works through and the Holy Spirit gives him comfort, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. In other words, starvation, shutdown of commerce, complete destruction of the nation. Yet he says, I will survive. No. He says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. The Lord God is my strength, he says. I think today you perhaps have been listening to PCY or other locations talking about the WHO accord that's being already been indicated by our president to have it become granted for America, that we participate in it, we sign the accord, and it could be a matter of weeks at most when the decision is made. Can the conservatives within our Congress step in the way? We'll see. But the World Health Organization, the branch of the United Nations, as some of you know, I used to work for WHO at one point in my secular work. But the World Health Organization is seeking authority globally for determining such things as vaccinations and health of mothers and children concerning abortion and birth control and whether or not carbon pollution, carbon dioxide, whether we should have cattle. It's far-reaching. And I tell you, there are three main features to it. One is that the interest is in centralizing power, taking power away from the nation and having to be a global thing, centralizing power. Secondly, the redistribution of wealth. And thirdly, the loss of American sovereignty, sovereignty of us to own our own property, make our own decisions. It's quite a movement, and who knows but what is ahead for us. We look at who our president is, who our vice president is, a number of things about where we are as a nation, and who knows how much time we have left before it's over. But we can say as Habakkuk, Although the fig tree should not blossom, there be no fruit on the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no fruit. We all die of starvation. We lose our nation. Yet he says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Why? Because the Lord God is my strength. We talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. He can give abiding satisfaction and inward strength regardless of anything, all things that may happen to us in the exterior. Number six, the Holy Spirit has power to lead us into a holy life. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So Mark, everybody who is born again, if they're a son of God, they have the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit leading them into a holy life. They're led by the Spirit of God. I think a good example in the Old Testament would be Joseph. Potiphar's wife continued to make advances to him, but Joseph said, thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Oh, in an age such as ours, we're accountable still to our Lord. We must look to the Holy Spirit to give us a deeper, more wondrous, and far-reaching desire for and movement toward greater and greater holiness. It's a mark of having the Holy Spirit of God within us. We can't do it in our own strength alone. We look to the Spirit of God. It's his work. It's part of his calling. He is the Holy Spirit. A seventh power of the Holy Spirit is to confirm our salvation. Are you saved? Of course, but salvation comes by belief in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. We repent of our sins, believe Christ died for our sins, and receive him as our Savior. But we read in Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I think a good illustration of that is John. Now he writes in 1 John 4:13, hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Now I might think if anybody knows he is saved, it would be John, who is so close and dear to the Lord Jesus himself. But he points to this as the greatest confirmation, the Spirit of God within him, confirming that he is indeed a child of God. Well, I tell you, friends, from age 25 to 30 in my life, I went on a retreat, retreat from the world, retreat unto the Lord. And the years went long, and after about 3 or 4 years into that, and I was living all alone in the middle of winter and all the snow, I thought maybe I should go and seek fellowship. And I was going to go into a small town. There's a basketball game. I'm going to watch. I hadn't done that for years. And I knelt and prayed first in a little gray Naga hide couch, small house. And I just felt this sweeping, overwhelming sense of the presence of God and the confirmation that I was a child of God. Don't seek that. I don't have it abiding all the time. But it was a wondrous illustration that God knows who are his, and he can give you the strongest confirmation in your soul. I just want to give that word a testimony. Now the power of the Holy Spirit, power to produce Christ-like character. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 and 23. I think a good example of that transformational work is the disciples, as we read in 1 John 4. Oops, that's the wrong text. That's in the book of Acts, right verse, but I've got the wrong reference. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Oh, for us to be transformed and people notice a difference and link it to this, that we have been with Jesus. Our transformation in character is a work of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gives us power to guide us into all truth. John 16:13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Contrast that with the recent news of revivals. I won't say too much on this, but I just want to give pertinent contemporary application of these various truths. Perhaps some of you have heard there's been what has been called a revival. Some even called it the Third Great Awakening. That's quite a leap. But there's a Bible college in Kentucky where for around 16 or so days, there is something that they called revival. It caught the attention of the nation. It's been on the news. Is it truly a revival? Only the Lord knows. There are some concerns in the study that I've done related to that, and just this testimony, that video, and so on that you see. And with the at this revival, there's very little preaching of the Word of God. Very little reference to Jesus or the Father, but much more to the Spirit, which always concerns me because the Bible says the Spirit will not speak of Himself, but will reveal the Lord Jesus to us. That's where His, that's what His work is. And the rock type of music I find incompatible with a revival. And the amount of women that are involved rather than the men in leading this revival concerns me. So there are a number of reasons why the homosexuals involved in it too, unrepentantly, in the stuff that I read and saw, all give me concern that this may not be of God, but who knows how the Lord is working. I'm not going to say anything axiomatically. It's not my place to do that. But I do know this, that the Holy Spirit can guide you and me into all truth. We commend our minds to Him, and as we study the Scriptures and meditate, God will lead us into all truth. An illustration is the church in Corinth. The Corinthian church was one of the weakest of all the churches. They were trouble, mess in so many ways. Nevertheless, the Holy Spirit was leading them into truth. We read in 1 Corinthians 2:12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." In this church, that's where we learn about how to carry out church discipline. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It's how what the Lord's will is concerning divorce and remarriage. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. How to conduct the Lord's Supper. We see that every month. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The great chapter on love, 1 Corinthians 13. A great chapter on resurrection, chapter 15. All this pertinent, remarkable, and detailed truth that's being provided even to the church in Corinth, which was a weak church. So we trust that's the labor of the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. Holy Spirit has power to bring to mind Christ's words. I'm sure you've had this experience, haven't you, where you're witnessing to somebody, you're kind of afraid, what am I going to say, and your mind goes blank, but then scriptures come up, and another scripture comes up, and you share it, it's just the right one, and you're almost as surprised as the person you're speaking to. But that's the design of God, where the Holy Spirit will bring to mind the words of Christ. We read in John 14:26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." You and I, we have a responsibility to memorize the Word of God, to study the Scriptures, so the Holy Spirit has something to work with. A good illustration, I think, is of the elders at Ephesus, Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Paul says, "I've shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, that's a great text, but it doesn't appear anywhere in the Bible where Jesus says those words, more blessed to give than to receive. Not exactly. But he says, "I've shared them with you, and you will recall them. The Holy Spirit will bring them forth. You will remember the words of the Lord Jesus." A couple more. Power to reveal to us the deep things of God. You realize if that was the only thing the Holy Spirit did, how great would be the gift of the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians 2:10, "But God hath to reveal them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." The Spirit of God in our spirit chooses to open up the deep and rich things of God for you and me to comprehend. Now, he had done this even for somebody like Nebuchadnezzar. We read in Daniel 2:28. Nebuchadnezzar says, "There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Oh, what a sweet thing it is when the Lord draws you in to reveal you the deep things of God. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us power to aid us in communicating truth. Paul says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Oh, do you know what it's like to have your head swarmy and you can't, nothing's coming to mind, and you're supposed to stand up and speak before people, and you find yourself leaning on the Lord to bring thoughts to mind and to have it be a demonstration, not of one's intellect, but of the Spirit of God himself and the power that he alone exercises. I think Stephen's a good illustration of that in Acts chapter 6. We read in verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake. The Holy Spirit has power to teach us how to pray. Jude, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's the way as we have it described in the Roman church, Romans 8, 26. What great words these are. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So deep, so rich, so emotional, so right central, on base of exactly what's going on in our soul. The Holy Spirit helps us in our infirmities in prayer. The Holy Spirit has power to lead us in right thanksgiving to God. We read in Ephesians 5, starting in verse 18, be filled with the Spirit, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I should be grateful all the day long, but that's not something we accomplish through our own efforts. We are filled with the Spirit. We will thus give thanks. And that includes snow. You and I, when we have vicissitudes, that's a small vicissitude. When my daughter does photography on the East Coast, some of you may have heard this. Most remarkable thing, I was sharing it with the deacons earlier. There was a man and a woman, three little children, 1, 3, and 4 years old. And Emily was taking pictures of them there on the coastline, the ocean, beautiful pictures. Some days later, the mother calls Emily, totally devastated. The three-year-old daughter up and died. Just, there's no indication of why. Maybe there is now, they're doing autopsy, but SIDS, don't think so. No sickness, no anything. She was just lying there cold and gone. It's just absolutely remarkable, the trials and awful things that can happen in our lives. And so what is snow compared to that? Or the small things that we trip over. You and I are given the challenge to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so that's a wonderful way to give testimony, trusting in him in all cases. Consider the apostles in Acts 5:41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Would you thank the God for that? If you counted worthy to be put in prison and then beat and suffer shame for his name? It should be, and it can be, because the same Holy Spirit which indwelled them indwells every believer here. Just a couple more. Holy Spirit has power to lead us in right worship of God. Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. That's going to be accomplished across the globe in the millennium, even among the Gentiles. We read in Malachi 1 and verse 11, for from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense, which represents worship, shall be offered unto my name. That's when the Holy Spirit has complete control in the lives of the people through the millennial period. Two more. Holy Spirit has power to lead us in our life calling and work. We read in Acts 13 and verse 4, so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Yes, they prayed, and the leaders of the church put their hands on them. They looked to the Holy Spirit for guidance, and he said, send these people to that place. It's one reason we believe in the local church. The Holy Spirit works through the Holy Church to send people into their life work. Look at Philip and the Holy Spirit guiding him. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. Philip is involved in a great revival in Samaria, a land of offense against the truth of scriptures. And yet now they're turning to Christ. Yet here comes the angel of the Lord speaking to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Leave Samaria, right when all this revival is going on. But it's the Holy Spirit leading him, and there is the Ethiopian eunuch on his way back to Ethiopia, reading from Isaiah chapter 53, and Philip comes and witnesses to him, and he gets saved. And one more. Holy Spirit has power to give us boldness in our testimony. I understand there are some who find it difficult to stand in front of the church here and speak, but that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Pray for this, that he gives you boldness. Acts 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. That's the way it was with early Christians. We read in 1 Thessalonians 2, 2. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God, even though there was much contention. Bold in our God. Yes, you need Holy Spirit courage, and he's here for that purpose. Well, let's review, and then I have a closing illustration. The scriptures assure us that we shall receive power after that ye have received the Holy Ghost. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judah and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So this is an assurance not just to the apostles or the disciples of that age, but every true born-again Christian. We shall receive power after receiving the Holy Ghost. Power, dunamis. We get the word dynamite from it. It means the ability to do something that we could not do in our own strength. Those powers include revealing Jesus Christ, convicting people of sin, regenerating people, giving satisfaction, strengthening inwardly, leading to a holy life, confirming salvation, producing character, guiding into all truth, reminding of Christ's words, revealing deep things of God, communicating truth, teaching how to pray, leading in thanksgiving, leading in worshiping, leading to life calling, giving boldness. Friends, isn't that wonderful? What a gift of the Holy Spirit of God. And by the way, that's a blessing of this age. In the Old Testament age, the Holy Spirit did not indwell all believers. The Bible is very clear in indicating the Holy Spirit came upon certain people for certain tasks, and not for all what we have listed here, and only for a season. The way it was for David, that was it was for Samson, and many others. But for us, the Holy Spirit, all who are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God, the Bible says. And he gave them power. Now, I said I'd like to close with an illustration. In my first years as a Christian, there is a booklet that I was shared with me. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's a little blue tract with a picture of a white dove on it. And I think I might have been influenced. It was fine literature, and it was useful, and nothing's against it. But I just wonder if I haven't minimized a little bit the power and usefulness of the Holy Spirit, as if he were a little white bird coming. I know John the Baptist saw the Holy Spirit descending as a dove, maybe as a dove would descend. But that's not the only picture, however you interpret that text, of the Holy Spirit coming. Holy Spirit comes with lightnings and thunder and smoke and voices and power, indication of what we have. I started thinking about the Holy Spirit of God is fully God, as much as God the Father and God the Son, with all the attributes of God. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent, and he is immense. And that's the point I would like to make here. He's not some little thing coming upon you and hoping and tinker with your heart and fix a few things. He is immense. The doctrine of immensity teaches that God is so great that he fills the entire universe and exists outside of it. Solomon said, the heavens and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, let alone some building like this. God, the Holy Spirit, is immense. So I thought, well, how big is the universe? Google that, and you get an answer something like this. As far as we know the extent of the greatness of the universe, it's 93 billion light years in length. And you know, light year is the distance that light travels in a year. Light travels 186,000 miles a second. So a light year is somewhere around 6 trillion miles. The universe is said to be 93 billion times 6 trillion miles. That's a very large number. And that's just the diameter. And the volume, God fills the whole volume, not just the diameter, not just one little horizontal line. And so I thought, I'd leave you with this picture. This is how many miles wide our universe is, at least, probably more than that. The Holy Spirit fills the entire universe and exists outside of it. And that is the Holy Spirit, which fills you and me in this, the church age. That, by the way, is, 5.58 times 10 to the 23rd power. That's big. We thank you, Father, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh, how could we be confident, just leaning on ourselves and our own capabilities, all of which are corrupted by sin. How wondrous it is to know that if we will but surrender ourselves to the Lord, what great work he can do in and through even us, where we are, our state, our age, our gender, our training, our capabilities. God can do anything with anything as he chooses and anybody. If there's a soul here not reconciled to God, may this be the day the Holy Spirit opens the heart to see, that opens the eyes to comprehend the Lord Jesus and come to him, repent of sins, and believe on Christ for the salvation of their soul. And for those here who have truly been redeemed, may we learn more and more how to give ourselves over to the power of God to do this great work of God. In Christ's name, amen.
Closing hymn will be hymn number 247 in your older hymnals. Fill me now. When you find that, please stand. We'll sing the first and the fourth verses.
Fill me with
prayer, please, sir.
Lord, we do